here and just enjoy the presence of Jesus. Let's open this morning with prayer. Pastor Ron is going to open in prayer.
Father, we just thank you so much that where two or three are gathered, there you are in the midst. So we celebrate, worship, and honor you today. We invite the presence of the Holy Spirit and your glory into this place. Change us, transform us, and renew us. In your precious name, Lord, amen.
Amen. Amen. If you're watching by live stream right now, can you do us a favor? Can you take a picture of your screen and then send it to Facebook? Or send it... Yeah, we want to know you're watching this morning, because we want to see everybody just worship no matter where you are. Amen? Are you ready? I said, are you ready? Let's worship the Lord.
Shout like never before.
Next to you to make sure they're alive. This is one of those kind of songs you can't kind of sit still at. If you're sitting still, we're not sure if you're living. So you got to sway a little bit. Can you sway? Can anybody just help us sway? You got it? Now, we got to clap on beat. Can you give us a beat? There's your beat. Now sway a little. Come on. You gotta move. You gotta move. This is one song you can't just sit still in. You gotta move your feet. You gotta move your hands. Because the devil, he's out to destroy people. But you and I are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ our Lord. You gotta celebrate your, you gotta celebrate your victory. Can I hear an amen?
In my soul, God is in control. I got sin on my trail, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I won't turn back. Sing it out.
This means war.
Come on and plead the blood, plead the blood.
I plead, I
Found in Jesus, and all we
You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life, so I can be free, so I can be whole, so I can tell everyone. Sing it out. You thought
I was worth saving,
so you came.
So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping,
so you cleaned me up inside.
So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for,
and you sacrificed.
So you sacrificed your life,
so I can be free, so I can be whole, so I can tell. You clean me up.
So you clean me up inside.
You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed.
So you sacrificed your life.
So I can be free. So I can be whole. So I can tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth saving. So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life so I can be free, so I can be whole, so I can tell everyone I know. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for giving us the strength just to praise your name whenever, no matter what we're going through, no matter the storms around us, Lord God, we know that praising you is what we should do in and in everything that we are going through. Hallelujah. Sing it out.
Praise is what I do when I want to be close to you. I lift my hands in praise.
Sing it out, praises.
Praise is who I am. I will praise you while I can. I'll bless you at all times.
Because I vow.
Because I vow to praise you through the good and the bad. I'll praise you
whether happy or sad. Praises.
Praise is what I do, even when I'm going through. I learned to worship you.
And even in my circumstance, no, it doesn't even stand a chance.
I'll praise you.
You know, I just get, it's interesting as being a pastor, I have the opportunity to get to know so many of you and your stories, the divine connections of how Jesus has washed your sins away and how you met him. You know, I was looking out this morning and I saw Mike Donovan. His story is one of the most powerful stories that I've ever heard. It was many years ago, he wasn't serving the Lord. Had no interest to serve the Lord. And a tornado went through his town right down the road. And he said he saw the tornado was heading right for his abode. And he said he climbed into the vehicle and he looked up and he said, now remember, he's not a believer. He saw Satan ride in that tornado. And he called out to God. And that tornado shifted and moved completely away from him. I can go through and I can talk about my stepdad, who was a high mason. God saved him, set him free. One thing you'll know about Grandpa Al is he'll tell anybody about Jesus. Anybody. You give him an ear, even if you don't give him an ear, he's going to talk to you about Jesus. We can go through with people that, you know, Minister Redner. God did a lot in his life. But what's really cool is that even when he struggled, God chased him down. And today he's living in his destiny. Pastor Dan. Pastor Dan and Jody were living together. And I remember them visiting. This is before they were saved. They visited. I don't know why they were even in the building. And I cornered them and started talking to them. And I believe it was just a few weeks later they gave their hearts to the Lord and God changed their life and he's been a minister of the gospel. Every one of us have a story. Praise is what we do because that blood washed our sins away. I look at Dave over there. Dave, man, I chased that dude for a long time. He'd be serving the Lord, then he'd kind of slide back, serve the Lord, then he'd slide back. Just continually going after Dave. But you know, Dave had an experience with Jesus. It was about 5 or 6 years ago now, where you completely transformed your life and it saved your marriage. God is so good. We can go through this sanctuary. Rich Blaha has a really good story. I'm sure you've heard of his. That man could cuss. And who would have ever thought Rich Blaha would ever be in the house of God? You know, we all have a story. And we can't forget where we came from. And thank God for the blood. Without the blood of Jesus, where would you be? Where would you be today without the blood of Jesus? I just thank God that today he loves you. Can you turn to someone and say, I thank God he loves me. Can you tell somebody else, I thank God he loves you. On your way back to your chair, can you welcome 5 or 6 folks and say, I thank God that Jesus loves you. Come on, go find somebody you don't know. Jesus loves you. I thank God Jesus loves you. Don't you sit down, young man. Go. Yeah, both of you.
Hey family, our next outreach Saturday is going to be February 10th at 12 p.m. This is where you have the opportunity to come and learn how to reach the lost and reach our community for Jesus.
I am so excited about this upcoming event called Revitalized Worship Night. It is on Friday, February 9th at 7 o'clock. So we're just going to let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit does. We're going to let it flow. So if you would like to come out and join us for a night of worship, I would be so excited to see you there.
Sweetie. Jody Ann. Guess I'm doing this alone. Joy. Marriage Encounter. First ever, April 12th through the 14th. Total cost, $425. Your first deposit's due next Sunday, January 28th, of $150. Limited openings. Make sure you sign up at the Hub today. Coming February 11th, don't be left out in the cold.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. Isn't it awesome to be in the house of God this morning? I am so excited about 2018, our theme, Divine Connections. If we could just get a glimpse into what God had planned for you this year through the divine connections that are even in this room. It is not an accident that you are here this morning. It was planned and purposed even before the foundations of the earth were laid. God had a plan for you to be here. So welcome. We would also like to welcome our guests this morning. If you are a guest in this house, we're going to ask you to raise your hand. We have a gift that we would like to bless you with. Are there any guests in the house this morning? If you're sitting next to a guest, maybe you could help us out, point us in the right direction. Any guests? Okay, keep your hands up if we have any. Yep, right back there. We have a guest right back here. Any other guests this morning? Okay. That's right. Thank you. Let's welcome them. We would like to invite you as a guest to come over to this side of the building directly after service. We do a guest reception where we have refreshments and you'll have an opportunity to meet our pastors. We just really want to get to know you. We're a big church, but we're really a big family. And the way that we do that is by building relationships with one another. So please come on over and meet us afterwards at guest reception. We would also like to welcome our live stream. Can we give a round of applause to our live stream? We love you so much, and we would love, if you can, to invite you into the house. There are divine connections to be made here as well. We just really love you and are so thankful that you are a part of our His Tabernacle family here. We would also like to remind you that we have next steps. Everybody turn to somebody next to you and say, next steps. That's right. You know, Christmas comes and we kind of get out of the habit of coming to classes the way that we should. We want to encourage you to jump back in. 2018 Divine Connections. It's not going to happen in your house. So you need to get out and you need to come to Next Steps. Our Next Steps 1 classes are Rock Solid Faith. That happens Tuesday night at 7 p.m. with Pastor Spencer. He loves when you clap for him. Yeah. And then Wednesday mornings with Pastor Dan at 9 a.m. And then Thursday nights at 6 p.m. with myself. We also have on Tuesday nights, Step 2, Faith and Finances. That's right. So if you want to position yourself for breakthrough this year, you do not want to miss out on getting into the classes that will supernaturally change your life. And speaking of next steps, I would like to invite Pastor Banfield and Pastor Dan to come up. We have a graduation. They're probably, oh, there they are. Let me turn it over.
All right, you guys can come out. We're so excited. This class has successfully completed the marriage class through Next Step, Step 2. So we will be doing this again. I'm not sure what the schedule is offhand, but the exciting part is we had fun during this 8-week course. Did we not, guys? My wife and I, we taught it, and we're just, you know, a little mellow and quiet. So we're so excited. Congratulations, everyone. Not everybody's here, unfortunately, but it is an awesome thing, as well as we also had family and parenting that was completed through Step 2. So this is an opportunity that we want to show you how to get involved in Step 2 when you've been through Step 1. So get in it this week. Actually, it's Faith and Finances. Carla's teaching that. So Step 2, again, it's Tuesday night at 7 p.m. We're actually, and you guys saw the marriage encounter details, so I don't need to go any further than that. But thank you so much. Congratulations.
That's excellent. Next Steps, such a great, great education track to grow your faith and your walk with God. As we enter into this time of prosperity, I am so excited about the Word of God today. How many of you believe that the Word of God is true? Okay, be careful, it's a trick question. How many of you believe that the Word of God is true? Okay, because I'm going to share the Word of God with you this morning on what He has to say about prosperity. And there's three little stories in the Bible that God supernaturally canceled debt. God supernaturally canceled debt. And one is found in 2 Kings 4, 1 through 7 with a widow where she obeyed what the prophet had said to her to do. And she had oil that was just kept coming and coming. And she was able to pay her debt with the oil that God supernaturally produced for her. So this was a woman, a widow woman. It wasn't like she had overabundance. God supernaturally provided debt cancellation for her. And then the next one is 2 Kings 6, 5 through 7. And this is about a man who borrowed an axe. He didn't even have enough for himself. He had to borrow a simple axe. He didn't have enough to buy that axe. But he lost the axe in the water. And it says, "Alas, master, for the axe head was borrowed." And the man of God asked where it fell. And he showed him the place. And when he cut down, he did what he was told. He cut down the stick, cut it, threw it in the water. And the iron of the axe floated and it swam. And he was able to take it up and return it to that who he had borrowed from. You see, he would have owed that man if he couldn't get that axe head back. God supernaturally canceled that debt for him. And then God miraculously paid a tax bill. Matthew 17, 24 through 27. "Do not your masters pay tribute?" he said to Peter. "And yes." And when he had come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, "No, go to the sea and cast a hook and take up the fish that first comes up. And when you have, open its mouth. There you'll find a piece of money. Go and take it and pay the tax." Supernaturally pay your tax payment. I want to see some supernatural tax payment happening in my life. But listen, so let's go to the scripture that says, God is no respecter of persons. And that's found in Acts 10:34. And then, so that means he doesn't treat anybody differently than the other person. So what he's done for them, he'll do for you. And guess what? He's still doing debt cancellation today. Somebody get excited with me. I'm excited about this word of the Lord today. Amen. He's still doing debt cancellation today. You want to know how we know? Because this is true. And it says in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday,
today, and forever. So the same debt canceler that he was yesterday is the same debt canceler that he is today. And when they obeyed the word that was spoken, they did what God said, because listen, let's be honest. Not everybody's debts are supernaturally canceled, right? It doesn't happen for everyone, but when we obey, according to Deuteronomy 28, that's when supernatural happens. So when we walk in tithing, which is a principle of the Word of God, 10% of our income, giving it to God, sowing and reaping, and with whatever measure you sow, that you'll also reap. When we follow these principles, we know that we know that we know God will not treat anyone different than he's treated them. He won't treat us any different. And we know that we know that we know that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I'm believing God this year, after studying this word and reading it, for supernatural debt cancellation for this house, for this church, for my personal life, for your lives, because that's the God that we serve. Let me read one more scripture. Mark 9:23, and it says, if you can, and this is Jesus, by the way, let me start at the beginning. Jesus said unto them, so Jesus is saying to you this morning, if you can believe, all things are possible for you. How many of you believe this morning? Stand to your feet. We'll make our supernatural declaration. And it's found in Deuteronomy 28. Repeat after me. It says, if I obey, because remember, it doesn't happen for everybody. Doesn't just fall out of the sky. If I obey, oh, then I'm blessed going in. I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. Now say it, I believe. I believe. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching by a live stream, click on the giving button or text to give right along with us.
Got joy in my soul. God is in control. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I won't turn back.
This means war. This means war. This means war.
Hey, come on and sing that name with me.
This means war.
Back to the top. I got joy in my soul. God is in control. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I won't turn back.
This means war. This means war.
And sing that you plead.
I plead the blood.
Hey, somebody better plead the blood.
I plead the blood.
Oh, yeah.
I plead the blood.
Come on, sing, I plead.
I plead the blood.
This means war.
This means war. This means war. This means war.
Praise the Lord. Isn't God great? There were many of you that filled out your envelope at the beginning with Brother. There we go. With Brother Avanzini, and you vowed to tithe for 1 year. Some of you did not get your book. We're going to have those available right after service, right here at the front. If you did not get your book, please don't steal a book. Amen. I know there were Christians, but don't steal the book. If you did fill that out and you did not get your book, we're going to make them available here. We have, I believe, about 100 left. So there's at least 100 folks that signed up for that but did not receive their book. We also, it's an exciting year. This is the year of... Now, I don't know if you've had a chance to look at the product, but we got great product. These little mugs, there's only a few of them. I love the fact that our actual location is on here. Divine Connections, Mark 16:20, and they went out and preached everywhere, God working with them. And then our logo for the year is the two mountains, and that is the connection. Who would like that? I don't want to hurt anybody, so I guess you're going to have to be the first one to come get it. You can't get that. Stinking. My own child trying to get one. Who would like a shirt? No, you can't have one. Jeez, such violence in the kingdom of God. Now, that's the way to be tall right there. Now, listen, if that shirt doesn't fit, just go out and they'll exchange it for you. So I just want to remind you, the reason we have products is so that you can give a testimony. You wear those shirts, people ask, what is that all about? And you can say, this is this year, Divine Connections. How many of you have experienced a divine connection in your life? Amen. We just finished the No More Hurt seminar. It was amazing. I think we had 155 out on Friday night. There were at least three or four churches represented from the local vicinity, and maybe you didn't come. Boy, I'm really sad if you didn't come. This would have been a life-transforming experience for you. This is a step two program, and so you need that. Listen, you can buy the books. They're available out there, the workbook, as well as for the first time ever, Pastor Rhonda has DVDs and or CD packets available for you. How many of you have ever been offended? Right? Everybody else is a liar. Glory to God. Somebody was really excited about their offense. Glory to Jesus. There's no question that if you've lived long enough, if you're in the room, you've been offended. And if you've been offended, if you carry that offense, it will kill you. And God's design is not for you to live offended. This whole year on Divine Connections, what we're excited about is showing you last week, if you were here, I showed you from as a child all the way to where we are right now, some of the divine connections that God has placed in my life that got me where I am. How many of you found that a little interesting? I was interested because I had never really looked at all of the people that God had put in my pathway to get me where I'm at today. But every one of us are in God's will, if you are, in God's will because of the divine connections that he has placed in your life. You see, our God is the big light. Can I hear an amen? He is the divine connection in our life. And we are. We are that individual that when you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, there is a connection made. And that connection is so powerful because without the connection, whoa, Jesus, help us all. Without the connection, there's no way for your light to come on. Boy, that's an excited light. Can you not be as excited? Well, you're going to have to be excited with it. Amen. How many of you excited about the divine connection with the Lord Jesus Christ? Today, I'm going to be somewhat short because I just want to leave you with one nugget, and that is this. There's one thing that's most important in your entire life to protect, and that is the divine connection with God. You know, you'll find that many people protect certain things in their life. They protect money. They protect their home. They protect their children. They protect things all that to them is their treasure. The Bible says where your heart is, there is your treasure. Whatever your treasure is, you protect it. Some of you are just protecting yourself. You've been so wounded in the past that now you're in such protective mode that people can't even get near your emotions. They can't get near you because you're protecting yourself. I want you to know that all those things are good. There's nothing wrong with them. But the number one thing that we've got to come to a realization that we must protect is our relationship, our connection, the divine connection with our God. And too many of us, that is not number one priority in our life. The Bible says, seek ye, seek ye. We did a whole year on seek ye. Not seek ye second, not seek ye third, but seek ye. You see, God is calling us to a place where he truly is going to be that connection that will light us up. Many of us have looked in many other areas to try to light up our life. You light up my life. You make me. I'm sad that some of you actually know that song. That is so sad. It's amazing when we recognize that we look at so many other areas to light up our life, but there should be only one light that is the brightest, and that is our divine connection with our God. You must learn. Turn to somebody and say, you must learn. Tell somebody else, you must learn. And this is a learn thing, because many times we protect out of our subconscious. We protect just out of a natural peace that we are. Let me tell you something. You come after my children, and no one has to teach my wife to be mama bear. The nails come out. The teeth grow. I've seen the teeth grow before. And it's time for death to come to somebody. I remember one time when the kids were really young in our first church, a lady came up and she said, well, you know, your children are so unruly. And my wife, oh my goodness, that woman needed a healing by the end of that service. My wife just double-barreled the lady. Well, why? Well, because no one has to teach you to protect your children. But because our relationship with Jesus is something that we are the ones that have to accept, we have to come to a learning that that must be protected in our life. We must protect our relationship with Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 16, verse 20 says this, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying of signs. Amen. You see, this great connection, this connection with God, gives you your destiny, not just your eternity, but your reason for breathing on this earth. Now, this is so powerful because so many of us have never really located why you're breathing. You're just kind of meandering around the planet. You're a good person. You love God. You're saved. If you died today, you know you're going to be with him. But you've placed your destiny in things that are so temporary that you and I live more for the temporary than we do for the eternal. Now, I want you to recognize that God has required us to live for him first. This is a gospel that is not really excitable in the kingdom of God in today's church world. We want to make everybody just feel good. We want to placate their lifestyles. But the truth is that Christ, he is not placating. And if you've ever read John chapter 15, it's very powerful. It simply says this, if you abide in me, I abide in you. But if you produce no fruit, I'm going to cut you off and throw you in the fire. Huh? What do you mean? I mean, we've got to recognize that our relationship with the Lord is truly the connection for your eternity. And many of us don't really actually believe that salvation through Jesus Christ is the only way. We say it with our mouth, but we don't live it with our life. You see, when we really actually honestly believe that without the blood of Jesus washing our sins away, without a relationship with the living God, that is literally, not figuratively, not religiously, but truthfully, for Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. If we actually believe that, then the most prized possession in our life is not our home, it's not our wife, it's not our children, it's not our money, it's not our job. The most prized possession that we own in our life is that connection with God, because that's going to give us life here and life there. when we actually have this epiphany, and I believe, honestly, folks, that this is an epiphany that we've got to get from the Lord. We have a lot of folks that come down and, dear Jesus, please come in my heart, please come in my heart. And I love that. I love the fact that you publicly confess Christ as your personal Savior. But yet, there must be an epiphany that literally is the most prized possession that you have in your entire life. And until that, then we can literally, no questions asked, we can play God off and keep him second and third in our mindset and validate it in our life. You see, this is where you and I, we have this divine connection, and God has told us that it's not just for you to get to heaven. The purpose for our divine connection is that our light doesn't just turn on, but our light gets brighter. You see, the Bible declares to us in John 17:21, I pray they will all be one, just as you and I are one. This is Jesus praying. As you are in me, Father, and I in you, and may be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. You see, Jesus said, Father, my prayer for your people, for our people, the people that I'm getting ready to die on the cross for, the people that I'm getting ready to make the connection for, Father, I'm praying that they'll be one with us as you and I are one. I want them to hear. I want them to know. I want them to be so connected to us, Father, that just as Jesus said, whatever you tell me to do, I do. Wherever you tell me to go, I go. You see, when we understand this connection, it's more than just religiosity and saying a nice little prayer. It is a lifestyle that bursts from us because it's our most prized possession. When I was a child, we were taught about relationship with the Lord. And one thing that I did find was one of the major differences back then to today's reality of Christianity was back then, Jesus and the kingdom of God was your lifestyle. Now Christ is not most people's lifestyle, it is their visitation on Sunday. You visit your aunt once a month. But you see, when it's a relationship, like our children, they come to our house all the time. Sometimes they don't leave. It's relation. Yeah, we don't mind. They hang out. 9 o'clock, though, it's really time for them to go home. They come and they hang out and they eat at my house. They take my things. It's true. Chad said, is that yours? I said, yes. He says, oh, not anymore. But you see, it's the house. It's the home. It's the relationship. It's the connection. That's where they belong. You know, but when I would visit my aunt, I would go in and I'd behave myself. I'm not going to the refrigerator and getting anything I want out of there. I'm not just going to go plop my feet and sit on the couch and put my foot on the furniture. I'm not going to do that. It's not my home. You see, God wants to make God, the connection with heaven, such fabric in your life that you cannot get up a day and not know that he is intricately involved in your heart. You know, there are some believers, if God died on Wednesday, they wouldn't find out till Sunday. We must protect our connection. You see, our Father is not just after you to say, well, I've got another one for glory. But he really is passionate about you and him knowing each other. Not just knowing about him, but literally knowing him. Where you can hear, man. You know by feeling. You know by sense. You know by words. You know by experience. You know by intimacy. What he's feeling, what he's thinking. Jesus said it best in John chapter 15. I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. He said, because the servants don't know what the master is doing, but the friends know. The friends know what the master is doing because it's being revealed to them. I love what the word of God declares in the book of Galatians chapter 4 verse 6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying out, Daddy, Daddy. You see, I just love this fact. Many of us don't have the epiphany, the revelation, the apocalypsis, the unveiling
that our Father is your dad. Our Father is intimate. He loves you. He wants that relationship with you. He wants you to look him in the eyes in the morning and say, Daddy. I remember my children did that the very first time. My wife was coaching them, of course. But I remember when they did that, it made a difference in my heart. Daddy wants you to truly know him and wants to be number one in your life. You see, honestly, that is the connection that really, the only thing that actually matters in your life. You know, your family, how many of you have ever had family turn on you? How many of you have ever had friends turn on you? How many of you have had people that you are closest to die on you? How many of you have ever lost a job? How many of you have ever lost money? How many of you have ever lost your mind? Don't raise your hand. You see, all of this is real because that's all temporary. How many of you have moved at least once? How many of you have had at least one car? How many of you have had at least one credit card? And now you need supernatural debt cancellation. Hallelujah. All of this shows that the life that we live is so saturated with the temporary. But the Word of God declares in Corinthians, don't look at the things which can be seen, but look at the things which cannot be seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We've got to have this revelation in our spirit that we must protect the connection with our God. You see, the enemy of your soul, people don't believe in the devil anymore, but whether you believe in him or not, he's still real. There's still a Lucifer. There are still demon spirits. In America, they hide themselves. They hide themselves right in church. Most churches don't educate their folks about the power of demon spirits. But they don't even teach their people about the power of Jesus' name. And the power of Jesus always destroys the works of the devil. Can I hear an amen? It's so funny. I've had people say, well, I don't believe in demon stuff. Well, it doesn't mean it's not working in your life. I don't believe in the sun. I don't believe the world is round. It really doesn't matter. The facts are the facts. You see, the enemy of your soul, his whole goal, you need to recognize he's not after your money. He's not after your marriage. He's not after your children. There's only one thing the enemy is constantly after, and that is to create a disconnection between you and Father God, because he despises you. Listen, there's something in this world. There are two things in this world, three things in this world you've got to hate. Four things in this world you've got to hate. Ready? You got to hate the devil. Shout, I hate the devil.
I hate the devil.
Shout it out loud, to hell with the devil. That's a song, and if I had a guitar, I'd play it. To hell with the devil. It's a song. Striper. It's the name of the band. To hell with the devil. I feel like a rocker if I had long hair, but I just got it cut. Glory to God. You gotta hate Satan. Someone said to me once, listen, honestly, somebody said this to me once. That is just so mean that you hate the devil. I said, huh? And they said, I pray for the devil. I said, you can pray all you want. He's doomed. You gotta hate Satan because he hates you. His plots and his ploys and his plans are to do one thing, and that is to disconnect you from your relationship with God. He's not running around with a large pitchfork and a little red suit with a tail that wobbles back and forth. He is running around as an angel of light. He is so sneaky. He is so sly. He knows your weaknesses, and he so desperately wants to disconnect you from God so that you won't go to heaven and so that you will not make a difference on this earth. You see, the power of being the light, it's not just that you're called sons and daughters, but the power of being the light is that you draw other people to the Lord Jesus Christ. So if the devil can disembark you from your connection with God, if he can create a short circuit. I I don't do electricity because I will die. A short circuit is this. A faulty or accidental connection between two points of different potential in an electric circuit, bypassing the load and establishing a path of low resistance through which an excessive current can flow. It can cause damage to the components of the circuit if not protected by a fuse. In layman's terms, it means this. It's an unexpected interruption of current that redirects the flow from the intended path that will cause damage. The enemy constantly is trying to divert the flow to cause you damage. John 10:10, the devil's come but to steal, kill, and to destroy. He is a wise old serpent. He has been working with mankind for so long. His passion is to make sure that you don't make it to heaven. His passion is to make sure that if you do make it to heaven, you make it alone. Now, the problem is this, is that if that occurs, then he truly has won. I know many people that started off with a passionate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that started walking with God, truly had a God experience. Now, there were over 500 people that last year, 2017, came to the altar or came to the outreaches and truly gave their heart to the Lord. It takes some gumption to walk to the front of the altar when people are staring at you and confess Christ as your Savior. It takes gumption to do that. That's a decision that is very conscious and intentional. They walk to the front, but many of them are no longer serving the Lord. Well, why is that? Was it God's will? Absolutely not. God's will that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's will is that we call children the sons and daughters of God, that we have a relationship with him, that we are called his friends. But you all know this true reality, that if the devil can break the connection, there's no greater trophy than one who was once serving God, and he has won back. And everyone in this room, I don't care who you are, that is your life. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. How shall we neglect so great a salvation? This is his passion, and we've got to come back to this. Because this isn't ping pong. This isn't let's choose a church. This is all about the connection that God has paid the highest price for, that you and I can be called children of the Most High King, that you and I can be called ambassadors, that you and I can be called the priests and the kings of heaven, that you and I can be called citizens of the kingdom of God, that we can step into a relationship that transcends this natural world, that we can walk by faith and not by sight, that we can live a life that is supernatural and not just natural religious. I go to church. Because you can go to church and still not go to heaven. This is all about the connection that he's striving desperately to cause a short circuit in your life. Some of you have already experienced it. You're still sitting here. But you don't have the same passion you did when you got saved. You don't have that same relationship with God you even had last year. You've allowed short circuits to come into your life that bypass the flow of energy, that now you are having a disconnect, a short circuit. You've blown a fuse. And no one can change that but you. I can't change it for you. Listen, there are many people I just want to go shake. No, really. There are people I just want to grab by the shirt, shake them, maybe even kick them. Because they need a quick wake up that they're actually putting their eternity at risk.
Well, you know, I accepted the Lord when I was 7 years old, and that's all I need to do. I'm good.
Really? That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you can backslide. What is backsliding? That's somebody who was once following Jesus with all their heart, their mind, their body, soul, and their strength. Now they have other connections that are more important than the divine connection. His statement to them was, I'm going to vomit. Actually, the word is, I'm going to projectile vomit you out of my mouth. I'm going to remove your candlestick. You see, we don't live in this world of Christianity. We live in the world where everybody's happy. Listen, I'm happy too. I'm happy because I'm connected to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm happy because I have a surety in my heart that if today I die, I don't even have a question. You know, if someone said the rapture happened, I said, it's impossible. I'm still here. Have you ever had a rapture scare? Here's a rapture scare for you. Some of you don't even know what a rapture is. The rapture is the coming of Christ. The Bible says, the trumpet of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then those that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That rapture is when Christ calls the living and the dead. The dead will rise first, then those who are alive still walking on the planet will raise, and they'll go to be with Christ. We'll go to the what? The bema seat of Christ, where we'll be judged. After our judgment, we receive our glorified body. After our glorified body, then we'll enter into the 7 years. Here, marriage supper of the Lamb, while on earth the great tribulation is being unfolded, where Lucifer, the first 3.5 years, there'll be about 2.7 billion people that will be destroyed on this planet with the first 6 seals. And then all of a sudden, out of the 6th seal will come the 7 trumpets. Out of the 7th trumpet will come the 7 bowls as the Antichrist raises himself up in the middle of the great tribulation period, 3.5 years in, sets himself on the altar of God and declares that I am God, as he kills a pig called the desolation, abomination of desolation. And then the unfolding of the earth will come until the culmination in Revelation chapter 19, where Christ will step his foot on the Mount of Olives, and all of a sudden the second coming of Christ will happen. Those that will be gathered there in the Valley of Megiddo, they're coming to fight against the Antichrist. But once they see Jesus and the saints who are riding with him come down, they will then turn against Jesus. And the word of God declares that with the tongue and the very sword of his mouth, he will slay all of those in the Valley of Megiddo, and the blood will be up to the horse's bridle, and that portion will end history as we know it, as we step into the very millennial reign of Jesus Christ. You see, many of us, we just look at where we're at, but you cannot be sure, so short-sighted that you don't see the reality of eternity. And the revelation that Christ wants to bring into your heart is that this protection must come about the connection, so that you are not lost, but you are remaining in relationship. That connection is sure, is solid, and that nothing can break it in Jesus' name. Ephesians chapter 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You might not like somebody. You might say, well, I'm not going to that church because of so-and-so. Well, guess, let me tell you something. You can not like so-and-so all you want, but that person didn't disconnect you. The spirits disconnected you. Enemy is out to destroy your relationship with the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Here are some of his devices. Now, how many of you know if you hit a pole, lights usually go out? How many of you know we can ask Marge, if you touch a 220 live wire, sparks fly? How many of you know there are certain things, if you disconnect your battery in your car, you're not starting it? There are certain things you know not to do to keep the electricity on. Now, how many of you know that if you don't flick the switch, you're in the dark? As simple as that is, that's a reality. There are things that we know that we've got to make sure that we protect in our home. How many of you got surge protectors for your computer? Why? You don't want to fry your computer. So if there's a surge that comes through, it blows that rather than blows your computer up. We are constantly protecting everything, but we've got to come back to protecting our relationship with Jesus. Here's some basic ways. I'm almost done. Busyness is one of the most powerful ways the enemy works in our life to keep us disconnected. Let me tell you something about busyness. Busyness doesn't mean bad. Busyness doesn't mean that you're a bad person. It doesn't mean, listen, but we all know this, that if you're so busy you don't spend time with your spouse, you're going to be divorced. Well, I love my wife, but you're never home. Well, I love my wife, but you don't show up for supper when she's cooked for you. Well, I love my wife, but you don't sleep with her. You sleep with somebody else. Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Oh, that's what God called Israel, a harlot, because it was sleeping with other gods. See, the point comes down to is that we can get so busy that we don't foster our relationship with the Lord. Our salvation claim, where we really confess Christ, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Those who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. That is real. That is valid. But then, as we all know, relationships take work. Relationships take time. All the divorce said. Boy, it got really quiet on that one. I was going to say all those unhappy in your marriage. No, don't do that. Do you read your Bible? No, I just don't have time, Pastor. You know, I really want to, and I plan on it, but I sleep in all the time. Really? So you'd rather sleep than go to heaven? Bible calls it, oh, sluggard, be like the ant. You know, we've got to make decisions in our life, and we all do what our priorities are in our life. We all make those decisions every single day. How many of you took a shower today? How many of you didn't take a shower today? How many put on deodorant today? How many of you, please, everyone raise their hand. How many brushed your teeth today? Sierra did not brush her teeth. You see, there are priorities you made in your life today. You're sitting here because you made God, you made your relationship with the Lord a priority in your life. You see, this is the powerful part. We make these priorities all the time. Well, I don't like to read. Well, guess what? We have Bible on CD. We have Bible on YouVersion. You can listen to the Bible 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Listen, if you do not spend time with Jesus, your relationship with the Lord can't make it. Can I say it one more time? The devil is going to get you so busy in your life. He's going to get you so busy and preoccupied in your life that God no longer is first in your life, and you're going to have a good excuse. I'm busy. If you're too busy for God, you're too busy. Can I hear an amen? The Bible says the cares of this world. The Bible says that if Satan can get us connected to the world and we love the world, then we lose sight of our purpose and our focus. Now I've watched people lose sight of God because of their families. They actually love their families more than they love the Lord. And you got to, I know this is a tough one, isn't it? Well, I love my family more than I love God. Well, then you've got serious issues because your family can't get you to heaven. Well, I love my children. I would die for my children. And listen, I think I would too. You really don't know until you're in the moment. I don't know. He's bigger than I am, you know. He could fight for himself. Some of us put our family before God. And I want you to realize that this is my favorite one. Well, you know, family time before God time. That's why we're not there on Sunday mornings. Really? So you're teaching your families not to be with God. There's a better place to be with your family than in the house of God. Listen, if you don't train your children to be in the house of God when they're 18, they're not going to be in the house of God. And then you've got another generation that will never breach the house of God. And then by the third generation, they will hate God. Oh, let's move on. Business, even fun. You can't cares of this world to supersede your relationship with the Lord. The love of the world, the Bible says that Demas left Paul because of the love of the present world. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Relationships. I can't tell you how many people I've literally watched trade their relationship with Jesus for a man or a woman. Listen. They can only sustain you so long. Sex is only good so long. Sex is good. So the married, everybody says. At least lie to your spouse. Glory to God. We do counseling. But you know something? All that your spouse has to offer, let's be real, we call it the roller coaster love, ride of love, because one minute they're making you very happy, the next minute you want to strangulate them in the name of Jesus. You have emotions all over the place. You never trade God for a relationship. I'm going to throw my mother under the bus. And I'm going to throw my mother-in-law under the bus. My mother, my father, walked away from the Lord when he was 38 years old. And my ma followed my dad for, I think, 2 years, trying to make him happy. My mother-in-law did the same thing. And they both came to the epiphany. It made the marriage better, but they were then going to hell. Your spouse is not worth going to hell over. No boy and no girl is worth going to hell over. Boy, you ain't convincing me. No boy and no girl is worth going to hell over. Listen, God's not telling you to leave your spouse. You pray for your spouse. You bring them into the kingdom of God. But you never trade God for your spouse. I'm almost done. Offenses. Well, I'm offended. I'm leaving. The devil's got you by the tail. Tragedy. Sin. Habits. Addictions. There's just so many ways the enemy works. Your job and my job is to protect the most vital thing in our life. If your heart starts to have pain, do you know what you're probably going to do? You're probably going to go to the doctor. Why? You don't want to die. I'm having chest pains. It's going down my left arm. What are you going to do? I'm going to the doctor because I don't want. Call the ambulance. Why do you do that? You don't want to die. But you can die in the natural. But that's temporary. If you die in the eternal, that's forever. Are you protecting your relationship with Jesus? Are you protecting? Are you protecting? Is that your life? We're kind of stuck together. Is that your life? Some of you, this is your life. You get excited about Jesus. You start growing in the Lord. Then he sends you a short circuit. It's pretty, isn't it? But you'll notice I'm not grabbing the ends. Because it's hot as hell. So Stop allowing your life to be short-circuited because it gets hot as hell. You got to protect your relationship with Jesus. Can you bow your heads with me this morning? Divine connection, your greatest one is Christ. Greatest one is Christ. My question to you is this. Offenses, tragedy, busyness, habits, relationships. Do you have a short circuit in your life? Are you spending time with God? Is He priority to you? Listen, it's the only thing that's going to get you to heaven. I'd love to say all you need to do is say a nice little prayer and that's it. You can live any way you want, but it'd be a lie. The enemy, your enemy, he hates you. And he wants to steal your relationship with God. He wants to destroy you so that you're with him for all of eternity, separated from Christ. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, maybe you've never asked him into your life, or maybe you have and you know that right now you're not sure. Today, you want to make sure. You want to reestablish the connection. So there's no short circuit. If that's you this morning, I'd like you to raise your hand up this morning. Is there anyone this morning that would like to get right with God? I'm not going to take long. Come on. 5, 4, thank you. I see your hand over there, ma'am. Put it right back down. 5, 4, come on, get your hand up. 3, last call. 1, let's all stand to our feet. Can I share something with you as your pastors? We're your greatest cheerleaders. Someone once said to me,
well, you know, I'm leaving that church. All you are is a cheerleader.
You better believe it. We're cheering you on to your greatest purpose and call that God has in your life. I hope you don't mind if I see you wavering that I'm going to grab at you. Isn't it amazing that when you start to short circuit, the first one you always stay away from is the pastor? It's true, isn't it? Pastor Dan calls you, ignore his calls. Pastor says, listen, I want to chat with you. Well, I'm busy. You need to know the job of the pastor is to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. I have no ulterior motives. We have no ulterior motives at this church than to see you not only reach heaven, but reach your purpose while you're here on earth. And we're going to do everything possible to push you. We're going to do everything possible to cheer you. We're going to do everything possible to spank you if we got to. Because there's nothing more grieving in our heart than to see somebody who once served the Lord with all of their life. And today, doesn't care if God lives or breathes. Please, please, you want to make your pastor happy? You want to make God happy? You want to make your spouse happy? Don't get short-circuited. Run with all you got. He's good, and he loves you. Amen? Father, I just speak blessing over this house in the name of Jesus. Lord, I declare that the devil's, his ways and his means will be revealed to each one of us. Lord, he works differently with each of us. And Holy Spirit, you live inside of us. So we ask that you'll reveal to us these sneaky, nasty ways that he comes in to disconnect us from heaven. Holy Spirit, please show us every single time that a short circuit is coming even before it gets there. So we can divert and not have, Lord, not miss our vein. Not miss our wires, not miss the flow. God, we want to serve you with all of our heart, our mind, our body, soul, and our strength. And God, we want to live our life for you. We want to do your will. God, we want to make a difference. We not only want to get to heaven, we want to shine so bright that people around us will say, surely God is real. So Lord, we make a decision. We choose not to be short-circuited in our life. We choose. We make a conscious choice to protect the connection with you. In Jesus' name, amen. My wife said this at breakfast this morning. She said, isn't it amazing it only takes one day to break a good habit, but it takes over 30 days to break a bad habit? Don't even let one day get in your way of your relationship with Jesus. He loves you so much. The young individual, the person that raised their hand for the Lord, as we are dismissed, if you'll meet me right up front, we want to pray with you. I'm going to have the prayer team come to the altar right now. I don't know what you need this morning, but if you have prayer, need prayer for anything, the prayer team's here at the altar. They'll pray for healing. We had a bunch of healings last week. A bunch of people got saved last week. People filled with the Holy Ghost last week. You just need to come and get ministered to in Christ. God will change your life. If you raise your hand for salvation, if you'll meet me right here, we'll make sure that we introduce you to the greatest friend you'll ever have. His name is Jesus. We love you. Have a great day. Serve God with all of your heart.